Now, I was coming from Las Vegas. I don't go out there to gamble. I don't do that kind of stuff. Las Vegas is the word is excessive, indulgent, wildly opulent, extravagant, overdone, and dare I say, pretty sinful. Las Vegas kind of represents an awful lot of bad stuff. Just so happened I was speaking to a convention out there, and they were holding it in one of their hotels. One of the interesting things I noticed, the population of Las Vegas is 1.5 million. 1.5 million. My grandmother is 96 years old. She's still alive. You probably deduce that. In my grandmother's lifetime, let me tell you how fast things are changing. The city of Las Vegas, Nevada, one grandma lifetime ago, the population was 30 people. The average life expectancy in the United States was 47. I would have been dead for a while. And you people would be sitting there by your radios thinking, why do I have this station on? There's nobody here. You take showers every day with warm, hot water? My grandmother's lifetime ago, in the United States, 14% of homes had a bathtub. I didn't even say if it had running water. 8% had a telephone. Traffic jams? Yep. If you had a radio, you really didn't need a traffic report because there were 8,000 cars in the United States. And the road crews, the orange barrels, well, they only had to keep track of 144 miles of paved roads. We were a fast-paced society, though, one lifetime ago. Maximum speed limit in most cities, 10 miles an hour. 10 miles an hour. You know what the leading cause of death was 100 years ago? Pneumonia and the flu. You had a baby? 95% chance you were going to have it at home. How many people graduated from high school one lifetime ago? 6%. 6% of us graduated from high school. My grandmother had a third grade education. I think my grandfather had a fifth. Education, that is. Well, he had a fifth too, but he spread it out usually. He was Italian. He kind of spread it out over the whole couple of months. Now, here's an interesting stat. Almost one-fifth of all households in the U.S. had at least one full-time servant. Now, that's not bad. I mean, we have a servant. My oldest son, he's a servant. And when it's not his day to be a servant, I got another one to be a servant. The more they misbehave, the more servants we have. Now, why do I say this? Well, I'm going to introduce you. This is a fascinating article. George Will. George Will is an incisive commentator on the American scene, mostly political, but sometimes social. He quotes Henny Youngman. Henny Youngman said, "What good is happiness? It can't buy money." Will says, "Social hypochondria is the national disease of the most successful nation. By most indices, life has improved beyond the wildest dreams of even very recent generations." A guy named Greg Easterbrook, I think Easterbrook writes for Newsweek. He wrote a book called The Progress Paradox, How Life Gets Better While People Feel Worse. Those of you who have listened to this program, you know that I often talk about this exploding number of kids and adults being diagnosed depressed. Everybody's depressed. Everybody's discontent. When I do workshops and they ask, what is the number one workshop you would like to have offered? You know what it is? Stress reduction. We want a stress reduction workshop. We got to deal with stress. How is this that the richest, the wealthiest, the most comfortable, the most technically advanced people in the world as a group are so miserable? In 2001, Americans spent $25 billion. Now, that is more than the gross domestic product of North Korea. Okay? $25 billion. What did we spend $25 billion on? Recreational watercraft. What is the number one public health problem in the U.S.? It's caused from having unlimited supplies of affordable food. The typical American has twice the purchasing power. Now, this is controlled purchasing power. Twice the purchasing power of his mother or father in 1960. I was 8 years old in 1960. Twice the purchase power. We got a phone number? If I give out the phone number, people call in. I got to talk. The statistic that household incomes are only moderately higher than 25 years ago is misleading. Households today have fewer people. So real dollar incomes in middle-class households are 50% higher today. Listen to this. One-third of American families, ready? One-third own 3 cars. Now, given a few of these stats, and I could go on. Life expectancy has increased 30 years in the last century. What is happening that so many people are so locked into how miserable it is out there? How bad it is? How terrible it is? Well, Easterbrook offers a few hypotheses. Let me give you a couple of them. I think he's very insightful on these. The tyranny of the small picture. The preference for bad news produces a focus on the remaining little problems. You know, you get rid of the big problems. People aren't hungry much anymore. So what do you got to do? Well, you got to set up some kind of news. So what you do is you focus on more and more stuff that gets smaller and smaller and smaller. He calls it headline amplified anxiety. Here's my favorite. I love it. Catalog-induced anxiety and the revenge of the plastic. Here's what happens. He essentially says the more we can order and charge, the more options we have to choose from, the more we are aware of what we do not possess. The modern tyranny of choice causes consumers perpetual restlessness and regret. My son is going to be 7 in 2 weeks. His mother asked him, Petey, what do you want for your birthday? Now, that's kind of a tough choice for Petey because we usually spend about $3 on their birthday. But its implication is, what do you want for your birthday under $3? His brother, whose birthday was last week, earlier this week, got a remote control car. That's what Petey wanted. So Petey now has that remote control car. They're going to share it. Petey did not know what to ask for. He couldn't think of something to ask for. You know why? Well, we homeschool. And he doesn't see half an hour cartoon commercials. He doesn't know what's available out there, so he doesn't know what to ask for. But you see, adults know. We watch endlessly what we don't have. The more options. I went to get some low-fat ice cream sandwiches the other day in this mega grocery store. I could not believe the amount of ice cream deli stuff that was available. All of a sudden, I wasn't so happy with my little ice cream sandwich. You know, they got those triple little flavored striped chocolate kind of shakes on a bar over there. I never tried those. Ice cream sandwich, yeah, I used to be happy with that, but it seems kind of blasé now, doesn't it? How about this one? Some of you have moved people. Do your social duty, you move folks. Are you amazed, like I am, what the average American accumulates? Easterbrook calls it the latest model syndrome. The 10-hammer syndrome. We have piled up mountains of marginally improved stuff. And in the chaos, we can't find any of our 9 hammers. So we buy a tent. And the pile grows higher. You ever notice that when you move somebody? They've got 12 of these, 15 of those, 26 of those, 9 of those. And you're thinking to yourself, don't you need just one? Maybe two, if it's an important thing. How many shovels do you need? Well, this shovel's a little bit shape different. See how it kind of comes to a point here instead of being rounded off? And see how the handle on this one's a little thicker than the handle on that one? And you see how where you put your foot over here on this one side, there's a bigger lip to put your foot on than the one I bought 2 years ago. I had the smaller lip. The latest model syndrome. I've often wrestled with why, at a time of plenty, at a time of unprecedented security, material, well-being, are so many people so more unhappy? Now, we could take a theological perspective on this and essentially say, well, you know, there's a void here that God put in us, and we're restless, as Augustine says, until we find him. I personally believe that's huge. But a lot of this other stuff really does explain it, because I've wrestled, been disturbed and distressed at the number of kids being diagnosed depressed at a time when other cultures would look at us and say, what do you have to be depressed about?